describing how worship and communion can affect our thinking, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
You come in here and you get your heart centered and you get your mind cleansed and cleared, and all of a sudden you start to see things like they are in reality, in truth, because this truth frees us. It gets us thinking right, and so we don't have stinking thinking, because we can get it out there. It's a stinking world. It's a dirty world, and you can get that stinking thinking, and it brings everybody down.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
While we gather for worship at the Lord's table to remember Him, we're blessed in the process. Speaking of gathering together, we're glad you're with us for today's Sound Doctrine. Last time we considered the connection between revival and worship. As we continue in 2 Chronicles, we'll hear of a connection between revival and communion. Let's get underway, shall we, with just a bit of review. Here's our teacher once again, Pastor Jeff Johnson, with this edition of Sound Doctrine.
Second Chronicles, chapter 30. Now, we've just been introduced to Hezekiah. He is second to David. I mean, we're talking about Hezekiah, is one of the greatest kings Judah and Israel ever had. And the reason I say Israel, because we're going to see that they're going to be brought into this whole revival that's going on. Of course, Hezekiah is a good man. He's seeking the Lord, and he's causing revival to come. He's already putting everything together in the temple. The temple is getting restored. It's getting rebuilt. It's now got all the implements for the sacrifices. Everything is there. Everything is ready. So the temple's restored. The people now are restored, and they're just aching to come in and have Passover. And the king, you know, he's revived. And it takes that. For the husband in the home to get revived, it'll revive the home. So God, deal with us men in a special way. Revive our hearts so we can help our wives and our children see Jesus more clearly, that we can be that example. That's a good prayer. My people that are called by my name will humble themselves and turn away from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. This is what's going on here. It can happen here also in our country as we seek the Lord to revive us. So Acts 2:42 talks about another result of revival, and that's that the apostles were in the Word of God continually, steadfastly. Not only that, they were in prayer. They sought the Lord in prayer. Then they had fellowship with one another. You're in a good place. This is our time to fellowship with one another and with the Lord. And so that's a good thing. And then they had communion together. So we're going to talk about that, because this is like not the first Passover, because we know that the first time there was a Passover, it was in Egypt, right? In Egypt, Exodus chapter 12, there's an interesting story that you might want to read it later on about how the Lord said, this is what I want you to do. And I want you to get a lamb and get him in your house. And the kids, you know, wow, this is going to be great, man. And they got this lamb. It's not a flaw on it at all. And they got to know the lamb. They named the lamb and played with the lamb because they were all inside. And they had it for a week to just check it out and make sure that this is the lamb for the sacrifice. God says, you're going to have a sacrifice. Every home with a lamb. And so there's that lamb. And then that night came. And the father had to take that lamb and slit its throat and pour its blood into a bowl and go out into the front and put the blood on the doorposts. I mean, the kids were, I'm sure, just taken back by it. I don't understand. I mean, that was Sam, our lamb. And now he's dead, and now we're going to eat him. And, an innocent lamb. Have you ever seen and looked in the eyes and a face of a lamb? There's nothing more innocent than that. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world," when he saw Jesus coming to baptize him. Incredible, the Lamb. So then the angel of death came into the city, one of the plagues. And every house that didn't have the blood on its doorpost, the first son died. Horrific. There were screams everywhere. There was death everywhere. The angel of death passed over the homes that had the blood on it. Is his blood applied to your life? Have you grabbed the cross and held the cross? Have you invited and received that gift of that lamb? And it's amazing to me, as he was dying on the cross, that they were actually slaughtering all the lambs for the Passover. And as they were slaughtering the lambs, here he is up on Golgotha being slaughtered like a lamb. John said, "I saw a lamb. When I saw the Lord, he looked like a lamb that had been slaughtered." But here we are in this incredible revival. Hezekiah, the Holy Spirit is moving in a powerful way. They're worshiping the Lord. They're praising the Lord. Look at chapter 29, verse 30. It says that Hezekiah, the king, and the princes commanded that the Levites start to sing praise, and the words of David and Asaph. They were really singing the Psalms, the seer, and they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord. So that's the attitude. That's what's going on. I mean, everybody's just really, they're anticipating God to move in a powerful way. And he is, and they're starting to get into the praises of the Psalms. And when you sing the Psalms, they minister to you so much. I'm glad we still continue to sing them because they're powerful. So this is something that Hezekiah wanted to see spread, not only in Judah. You got to understand, the north is being already taken by the Assyrians. I mean, incredible news coming down. We got people running down south towards Judah to, run for their lives. They were being taken captive by the Assyrians, led with hooks in their jaws, and they stripped them naked. They brought them into a different land, and the Assyrians took up camp right there. They actually brought another people into that area. It was all messed up, man. But you know what? Hezekiah could have went, "I'm so glad that God dealt with those guys in the north." Because if you remember, last time we were in the scripture, we saw how those in the north came down and punished those in Judah and took many away captive. So Hezekiah, he's now, we're going to see him reaching to the north with revival. See, revival takes away the anger and the hatred. Revival calms our lives, ministers to us. We begin to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and just being long-suffering and temperate and loving. I mean, he reached out to the north, and he says, "Guys, I want you to come down and experience what we're experiencing." He could have just had vengeance. He could have just said, "I don't care about those people. Look what they did to us. So burn, baby, burn." No, he didn't do that. He actually took time to get runners to go up there and to share with them so they'll come down and be blessed. They were already coming down. Thousands upon thousands were escaping the captivity of the north. And eventually, Judah's going to see it. Amazing. They just don't learn. Maybe it's a little bit like us. We have a hard time learning. So Passover. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 16, I found an interesting scripture about Passover. And in Deuteronomy 16, this was really one of the first Passovers when the month of Abib, they said, "Let's keep the Passover, sacrifice the Passover. The unleavened bread is brought in, and it's because we had to leave in haste out of Egypt. Remember the day that thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, and the days of thy life, and thou shalt roast and eat the lamb after you've sacrificed it. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread." It's not the best tasting. "And on the seventh day is a solemn assembly, and thou shalt do no work therein. And so they actually instituted the Passover and began to do it on a regular basis. What's interesting here in this chapter is that it's been 200 years since the tribes have been together, and it's been a long time since they've had Passover. It's been just one bad king after another, messed up, and God was not the center of the nation. When God's not the center of the nation, you've got chaos. You've got trouble. So, verse 1 of chapter 30. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel, notice, and Judah, wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover. You guys, come into the sanctuary. It's done. It's finished. Come and see what God is doing unto the Lord God of Israel. So that scripture came to my mind, Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake yourselves gathering together as the manner of some is in the sanctuary. Why? Well, because it's in the sanctuary where God speaks to us. In Psalm 73, David almost lost it. He started to get his eyes on those that were rich, and he was sitting there, and he's thinking, man, those guys just keep getting richer, and they keep getting more things, and they never have a problem. They never get sick. He lost it. He didn't have the right perspective until it says he went into the house of the Lord, and then he understood they're sitting in slippery places and in a moment could be taken out into a Christless eternity. I mean, you come in here and you get your heart centered and you get your mind cleansed and cleared, and all of a sudden you start to see things like they are in reality, in truth, because this truth frees us. It gets us thinking right, and so we don't have stinking thinking, because we can get it out there. It's a stinking world. It's a dirty world, and you can get that stinking thinking, and it brings everybody down. So he said, come to Israel. This is what gets me, man. Come to Israel, and let's come into the house of the Lord, and let's receive this. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. And so we know this, that the north is all messed up. The Assyrians came, wiped them out. They're coming down now to Jerusalem to receive this Passover, very special time in their lives to remember what he had done for them, how he provided for them. Over in Luke chapter 22, this is when he said, I want to take the Passover with you guys, and I want you to go and get this place for me. And he there broke the bread with them and had the Passover. We're going to go back to that at the end of the night, and we're going to see that the Passover changed radically when Jesus came on the scene and had his last supper with his guys. Did some interesting things. Now, for the king had taken counsel, verse 2, and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. Before it was in the first month, in Numbers, it allows them to change it if they have to. And in this situation, they had to, because there was a lot of things going on where the priests weren't sanctified yet, and they had fallen behind because of all the construction and because of everything that they had to do to get ready for the Passover. So it was the second month, and that's all right. They changed it. For they could keep it at that time. They were allowed to do that because of Numbers. And because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. So a little bit behind, but catching up. People were gathering. They were coming by the droves from everywhere, gathering for this Passover feast. Corinthians 11:28 says concerning communion. But he says, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So when we come together to eat communion, it's a time to examine ourselves spiritually. Are you in the faith? Do you believe? Are you a believer? then this is for you. Believers, those that have received Christ, have been set aside for the Lord. Just like these communion plates have been set aside just for communion. When he sets you aside and me aside, he sets us aside for himself. So you're his. And that, just thinking about, you know, I'm in the faith. I love you, Lord. And you're just contemplating that before you're taking communion. So you say, well, I don't know if I know the Lord, or I don't know if I can do this. I mean, I don't know. We're going to give you an opportunity to receive the Lord so you can have, and to some of you, maybe your first communion. I mean, truly experience the incredible impact of this feast that we have in front of us. You say, feast? There's a little cup and there's a little piece of bread. What kind of feast is that? I'm hungry, you know. Oh, no, this will fill you. This will fill you in a spiritual way, in an awesome way. And the thing pleased, verse 4, the king and all the congregation. When Jesus had communion with his disciples and he had done the whole thing and changed Passover to communion, it says they went outside and they sung a hymn. I want to know what that hymn was. I want to hear Jesus sing. You know, when we go to Israel, we always pull up into this antique store and everybody goes in to look at all the olive wood stuff and everything. And there's a guy in there that owns it, and he always comes out. He's a Christian. He lives in Bethlehem. And he goes to a church that speaks Aramaic. I mean, Aramaic is what Jesus spoke. And you hardly ever hear Aramaic. When's the last time you heard Aramaic? Let alone him saying the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. So we always go in there and we always gather. He goes, gather around. And then he begins to speak. And then you close your eyes. And that's how Jesus spoke back in that day. Aramaic. And he did the whole Lord's Prayer in it. It was just incredible. So Jesus went out and sung a hymn with the guys. In other words, communion is a time of rejoicing. It's a time of receiving the joy of the Lord. How can I receive, you know, after all he's done for me, what can I do to thank him for all the benefits he's given me? I'm going to take the cup of salvation. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to partake of it and have joy in my heart for what he's done. So, verse 5, they established the decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel. I'm emphasizing that because this is the first time in 200 years this has ever happened. I mean, they were at civil war for 200 years. They hated each other's guts. They killed each other. I mean, this is unbelievable. From Beersheba, notice, way down in the south, even to Dan, way up in the north. We used to have trips going to Israel, and it used to be called from Dan to Beersheba. I mean, we're going to cover from one area to the other, man, because that's how you tell the land. That's how, it goes from one area, the way down south, to the north. Even to Dan, and that they should come to keep the Passover. Always keep the Passover unto the Lord, God of Israel, at Jerusalem, not at Shiloh, not up in the north where they had worshipped golden calves. No, we're back at Jerusalem. Jerusalem is having a revival. Jerusalem is crowded. It's happy. It's coming together. There's Passover time, and everybody's excited. For they had not done it, notice, for a long time, in such sort as it was written. So this has been a long time. Remember in 1 Corinthians 11, twice it says, as oft as you eat this bread, and as oft as you take this cup, how often should we do it? Some people do it every day. I don't know. You can do it any time. You can do it in your own home to have communion. It's a very special time. You can do it with the kids and help them to understand what it means. It's a very spiritual atmosphere because it talks about the body and the blood of Jesus. So I like that. As oft as you do it in remembrance of me, the Lord says. That's the most important part, is this is about remembering him and what he did for us. That's why, to me, communion is you just get to fall in love with Jesus all over again. You know, you just get to thank him again for all that he did for us. And that's what he wanted. And it's a commandment, isn't it? He commands us to take communion. But you say, no, 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 I can't. I had a bad day, or I had a bad week. No way. I'm not worthy. Hey, guys, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. He alone is worthy. And he says, I want you to do this. So be obedient, because in doing it, there's forgiveness. There's the blood of Jesus. There's cleansing. There's so much. And there's healing. We need healing. We need healing in so many areas, physically, psychologically, spiritually, every area. So there's healing in this feast that is set before us. Now, verse 6. So the posts, and I like this part, the posts went out, or the flyers, went with the letters from the king and his princes, notice, throughout all Israel and Judah. So the whole area has got flyers everywhere. Everybody knows about it. Everybody's talking about it. Flyers are important. They get the news out. And as you give it away, you never know what that person's going to do with that flyer. They might throw it in their car and then look at it again and look at it again, look at it again. Maybe I should go over there. No, I don't know. Maybe I'll check it out. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in a very special place at a very key time for them and the Lord to speak to them. And according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord. Look what he's doing. He's using it, reaching out. He's not angry at them. He's not going to want to punish them. He's just saying, guys, turn to the Lord. Hey, this is a good time. Come down to Jerusalem and turn to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Notice, Israel, not Jacob. Israel means governed by God. Israel, what a name. That they were governed by God at one time. But then things got messed up. They hated one another and they killed one another. Hatfields and McCoys, man, taking each other out. They didn't care. They got away from the Lord, and they were destroying their lives, their families, and their land. But God brought revival. God changes hearts.
Well, indeed, he does change hearts. And Pastor Jeff Johnson will be back with what that might look like today. Stay with us. This is Sound Doctrine, and what you've heard today is part one of our message called Revival and Communion. Well, let me pass along to you our toll-free number that you can use to order resources from us, like today's message on CD. That toll-free number is 800-353-7553. And by the way, the suggested donation is just $5. Again, reach us at 800-353-7553, or access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. More and more people these days are accessing teaching through their mobile devices. Now, if that's you, you can check out our app. Do a search for Calvary Chapel Downey and start listening to Pastor Jeff on your phone or tablet today. One day, millions of Christians are going to be snatched up into the air to join Jesus in heaven. We refer to this as the rapture, and it could happen any day now. But the question is, are you ready? Will you be included in that rapture? Consider that very question with Pastor Chuck Smith as you read The Rapture. Now, in this book, Pastor Chuck takes a look at the scriptures, detailing the rapture of the church and the Great Tribulation. You can get a copy today from Sound Doctrine by calling 800-353-7553 or order it online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Well, here once again as promised, to conclude today's Sound Doctrine, here's Pastor Jeff.
Maybe you're struggling with a father or mother or sister or brother. You're warring. You're in that war mode. God can come and just give you his agape love and change that whole thing to be reaching out to that loved one and trying to see them. Hey, come on over. We're going to go to the stadium really early in the morning, and then we're going to go out and have a feast. All the pancakes you can eat. Come on, man, get up early. It's going to be awesome. The sun's going to come right up, and you got to take your shades. Oh, don't forget your shades. Because if you don't have your shades, you're going to be blinded. That sun is so bright. And as you're hearing the word, God is doing a work.
Now we trust that you're inspired to get in on the action. God is moving, and you can be a part of it. More on that next time, right here on Sound Doctrine. This has been the outreach of Calvary Chapel Downey.